All right, we're going to start today with a little bit of arithmetic. Are you ready, Nathan?
Yes.
If a horse can pull a load of 4,000 kilograms, how much can two horses pull? Let's see, 4,000 plus 4,000 equals 8,000, right? Well, arithmetically, that's true. But reality is more than arithmetic. So the correct answer, anyone knows, is 14,000 kilograms. Wow, indeed. Today's sermon title is Synergy in Action. This is Synergy in Action. Synergy is greater result achieved by separate agents working together than the sum of the individual efforts. In other words, 1 plus 1 is more than 2. When people work together, their results aren't just linear, but exponential. It is not just addition, but multiplication. More is accomplished in a team than the sum of what's accomplished by separate solo efforts. ECCSers, we're in the middle of a rebuilding project. But what we're rebuilding isn't a physical building, but the body of Christ. This organism called ECCS Church. We build not with bricks, but with lives. Lives touched by Christ to serve Christ. May God use such lives to work together to bear fruits of manifold right here. That's the thrust of today's sermon, Synergy in Action. May God reap a bountiful harvest in our midst as Christians serve Christ together in ECCS Church. Shall we pray first as we dig into God's Word? Oh Lord, our God, you have said in 1 Corinthians, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Oh gracious God, we do not deserve to be workers for you, but yet you have not only just given us as individuals, you have blessed us as fellow believers of Christ to come together to serve you. Oh Lord, what we can serve is inadequate, is incomplete, is imperfect. Only when you use us according to your perfect will and purpose, that goodness and benefits will come. So we come before you, O Lord, humbling ourselves, readying our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Come and quicken us to receive your word for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are at sermon number 3 of Nehemiah. This is a part of the sermon series, Builders Seen and Unseen. This series draws attention to building, not physical building, but church. In other words, people, not rooms, not bricks, and certainly not mortars, but people. People of God and people for God. In the Builders Seen and Unseen series, we go through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. In this rebuilding of the temple in Ezra and the rebuilding of the city walls of Jerusalem, it is indeed human hands that put the bricks and mortar together, but it is the unseen God who makes it all happen. So please open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Today's scripture, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 onwards. Today's sermon will also cover chapter 3 as well. I think it will be obvious why I have not read the whole chapter. Now, Nehemiah is in the history section of Old Testament. On the biblical roadmap of history, Nehemiah, along with Ezra, are from this period of time after exile. Location-wise, Nehemiah was in Susa. From Susa, Nehemiah traveled to Jerusalem. And the book of Nehemiah tells of an amazing account. After 70 years of exile, the Israelites returned to the homeland. Though demoralized and impoverished, they managed to rebuild the city walls in 52 days. And Nehemiah's account testifies what can happen when God's people put their faith into action. From the first sermon of Nehemiah, we learn to start with prayer. Even as we pray, we must prepare and prepare, not relying just on ourselves, but relying on God's providence. Today, we come to the crunch, for this is where the rubber meets the road. Today, our lesson takes us from talk into action. Now, Christian faith is not just talking the talk, right? But it's also walking the walk. To rebuild ECCS, we must take action together. And for that, 2 points I want you to think about. Yes, I'm just going to bring them up right away. First, working in solitude. Second, working in multitude. These 2 points are so simple. It's like, duh. I mean, what other way is there apart from solitude and multitude, right? I mean, is there a mixtitude? No. So, I want you to note that working together isn't just believers doing the same thing at the same place and same time. Working together means you are on the same mission. Sometimes you work on your own, that's in solitude. Sometimes you work together with others, that's the multitude. Sometimes you serve by yourself. Sometimes you serve together with others. But as long as we are together in this mission for Christ, synergy in action is what is going to come. So let me unpack these 2 points for you. Working in solitude. So you're there now in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12 for you. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts, meaning horse, mounting the horse with me, except the one I was riding on. Now this is a sketch on Nehemiah's surveillance. That's the route he took. Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem with the king's endorsement and a royal entourage. Officers and people, cavalry escorting him. You would have expected much fanfare, right? When he arrives in Jerusalem, like when VIPs do the official things nowadays, you know, it draws the reporters, there'll be cameramen, and there'll be a convoy of very impressive vehicles, perhaps even helicopters, you know, circling in the sky. But for Nehemiah, there was nothing. Nothing for 3 days. It's all quiet. And even when it came time for Nehemiah to make a move, it was done quietly in the cover of night. And Nehemiah was careful to have only a few men with him so as not to attract attention. ECCSers, as we allow God to use us in rebuilding ECCS, we may need to work in solitude, in quietness, in the cover of night where nobody sees us. Working in solitude applies to us in 2 ways. First, equipping yourself, getting yourself ready. Equipping yourself usually takes place in the background in solitude. You spend time with God alone, subjecting solely to God's influence without other distraction. It's certainly not about putting up appearances for others to notice when you're alone. Think about an athlete or a student. For every medal or HD that they achieve in the public, how much time and effort they have to put in on their own, right? I tell you what, as someone who has to spend hours and days even to prepare a 30-minute sermon, I can testify to working in solitude. The second way of working in solitude applying to us is influencing others on your own. Influencing others on your own. While it's more ideal to work in pairs, situations may present themselves when you're alone. Now, I'm not talking about having to front a crowd, okay, but interacting with others one-on-one. Influencing others one-on-one is much spoken about in the Bible. Jesus was working in solitude with the woman at the well. And that's the same case as well when Jesus met with Nicodemus. And I might add that it was also in the cover of night when Jesus met Nicodemus. Paul was working in solitude with the jailer. In the jail, no less, quite an unglamorous setting. Influencing others for Christ can happen in solitude. So ECCSers, believers of Christ, connecting faith with action sometimes happen when you're by yourself, in solitude. You work in solitude to equip yourself as well as to influence others one life at a time. That's for solitude. Now to the second point, working in multitude. For this point, I refer you to look at Nehemiah chapter 3. Now go to verses 17 to 19, okay? Nehemiah chapter 3 is a very long chapter, 32 verses, and sometimes it's repetitive, it's dry. It's mundane lists of hard to pronounce names, people working in different segments and gates of Jerusalem's walls. So let me read to you this brief passage, Nehemiah 3, 17 to 19. And I think you understand the wisdom of not reading the entire 32 verses. Verse 17. Next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, carried out repairs for his district. Next to him, the repairs were made by the fellow Levites under Binui, son of Henadad, ruler of the other district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezra, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section from a point facing the ascent to the armory as far as the angle of the wall. Next to him, next to him, next to him, next to him. It's a lot of next to him. So let me unpack the two ways working in multitude would apply to us. First, everyone must share the load. Now, all this next to him, next to him, next to him, right? Someone counted up that there are 44 different groups of people mobilized in Nehemiah chapter 3. People who work in the multitude, daughters, goldsmiths, perfume makers, temple servants, priests, guards, merchants, and some work in prominent sections of the wall, and there are others who worked at the dung gate. Oops. Even today, right here in ECCS, there are glamorous as well as unglamorous jobs that need to be done to rebuild this church. And one thing I want you to notice especially is that none of these people is bricklayer. No bricklayers required. You would have expected that rebuilding the wall is a bricklayer's job, right? Putting bricks and mortar together? Not quite. Though none are bricklayers, God still used them to rebuild the wall. Goldsmiths, perfume makers, priests, etc. They roll up the sleeves and do what's necessary. They all chipped in to rebuild the wall. Brothers and sisters in Christ, ECCS needs you, every one of you, to rebuild this church. Yes, you may serve ECCS even though you have not gone through any course on rebuilding church. You may even be an engineer and help with ushering in church. Or you may be a business person and help with arranging chairs in church. Even if you are retired, you can still do something in ECCS right here. And you're doing it for God. So, working in multitude means everyone must share the load. Everyone must share the load. And the second thing about working in multitude is work where you're planted. Work just where you are. The Israelites all worked in different sections of the walls and they are near the homes. What an ingenious load distribution, isn't it? It sure solves a lot of logistical problems indeed. People having to move around. No, they just have to repair the wall that is in front of the house. I believe that's how God wants ECCSers to work as well. Right where God has planted you. You can serve God right in your postcode. Right on your street. God has planted you among your friends and neighbors for His special reason. You don't have to cross oceans to influence others, unless God calls you to be a missionary, of course. But most of you can influence others right where God plants you. Right in your social circles or your work circles. Work where you're planted. So in summary, to harness any synergy in action, ECCSers need to work together. Sometimes in solitude, other times in multitude. In a way, the barbecue 2 days ago has some form of synergy in action. People bringing food, others cooking food, and several bring friends and relatives, even strangers. Someone saw a stranger and said, hey, you want to go to a barbecue? Why not? Let's go. And there were quite a lot of ex-ECCSers as well. Is God maybe preparing us for our next event or next outreach project like Christmas caroling or even worship services? Yes, we have it every Sunday, but every Sunday is different. You can invite people to come to worship services as well, or join in prayer meeting or Bible study. Nehemiah chapter 2 and 3, in a way, are rather hard chapters for us because it compels us into action. It is where we move from talk to walk. This is crunch time for us all to roll up our sleeves and participate. We must connect what we believe with how we live. Are you willing? Of course, sometimes we work in solitude, other times we work in multitude, but both are required as we serve Lord Jesus Christ in rebuilding ECCS Church. Will you play a part in rebuilding the house of God? Let me close with this story about playing a part, about participation. This is a story about a boy who loved football. Though he loved football, the boy was never very good at it, mainly because of his small stature, small size. Even so, his father was always encouraging him to play the game, and he even urged him to try out for school teams. Because of that, he somehow managed to get on the university football team. However, after 4 years, despite never missing any practice nor any game, the boy never had a chance to play. Yet, his father always bought tickets and attended every game. While preparations were underway 1 year, the final year for the final game of the university, the boy got a telegram that his father had sadly passed away. Given the circumstances, the coach excused the boy from the final practice and also the final game. Come game time, the final game of his final year, his team was behind and time was running out. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, the boy was in the midst of the players pleading with the coach to play. "Please, coach, please let me play. I've got to play today." Because of injuries, the coach didn't have enough players anyway. So he thought, a boy who's never played a real game before is still better than incomplete team, right? Also feeling sorry for the boy, the coach decided to put the boy in. Then the most amazing thing happened. The coach and the players and everyone in the stands could not believe what they were seeing that day. This little unknown player who has never played a real game before was doing everything right that night. He ran, he passed, he blocked, and he tackled like a star. It's as if a giant of a player has somehow got into the little body of that boy. At the end of the game, the coach ran up to the boy excitedly and exclaimed, "Kid, I can't believe it. You were fantastic. What got into you?" The boy looked at the coach with tears in his eyes, said, "Well, coach, you know that my dad came to every single game before, but he never saw me play. It's not just that I wasn't good enough to be put on the field. Because even if I played, he still couldn't see me play anyway because he was blind. But as you know, he just died. And then I realized that for the very first time, no earthly blindness can keep my dad from seeing me play. And so I wanted to show him that I could do it." I think most of us here have been in church for a long time and have even served. And some of us serve until we cannot tahan, we cannot continue anymore. Many of us feel like the little boy. As you try to serve in church, as you try to influence others for Christ, whether it is in solitude or multitude, serving Christ and serving in church is not easy. It's never easy. It's not meant to be easy. And you might even catch yourself asking, "Why bother? Who cares anyway? Who knows what's happening?" I tell you, who cares? God is always there cheering for you. God has never missed a single game that you participate. He sees every time you roll up your sleeves. Maybe you roll up your sleeves to wipe the tears away because of you're getting hurt in church, but you carry on. You serve Christ by serving His church. Nothing glamorous in the little church. Maybe even nothing exciting. But I saw a glimmer of light 2 days ago in the barbecue when people roll up their sleeves, do what they can. Will God continue to do such things a little bit at a time? Our loving God is always reminding us to go on, and He's always offering us a hand, knowing what's best, giving us what we need as we offer ourselves to serve Him. What a joy to know every participation in God, in this church, is an opportunity to glorify God. And God delights in your desire to influence others for the body of Christ, for Christ in this body of Christ. Whether you act in solitude or multitude, put your faith into action. Work together as ECCSers and let God reap His harvest bountifully in this church through our collective synergy in action. Amen.